just use this one for now. Is that okay? And later. All right. Well, good evening. So nice to be with you. We've been in the States now since the 12th of June. Spent about 15 days with my mom, my brother Tim, my sister Kathy, and the church over there. Then we came over here. We've been staying with some friends over here in Coloma since then. And then we're traveling around to the churches that are basically in southwest Michigan. And then we'll be moving north. But we'll talk about more about that later. We'd like to sing a song for you. It's a song that I translated from Dutch. I don't know Dutch, but I use technology. And we'd like to teach you the song, okay? It's in a hymn format, easy to learn. And I think the words people have told us, they're good words that help us think and hope it elevates your heart. I think we're supposed to get this.
Okay. This is not part of your song.
In the night of strife and sorrow, we look up to you, O Lord. Praying for a new tomorrow, for a future full of hope. Though we have a thousand
full of hope. You have promised it, so Lord.
the end of our video, which we'll show later, there's a verse, and it's 2 Corinthians 4:15. And basically it says, but all things are for your sake, so that grace, which has been spreading to many, will also abound for thanksgiving to the glory of God. And you'll see there's a lot of thanks from some of the groups that we work with back in Spain. I'd like to take you to a passage which is a different one than that, and it's in 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'll turn my mic, I'll behave, and I'll turn the mic on. Okay. I consider that this passage is one of a very important passage in Scripture, and it hasn't been, we haven't paid attention to it a whole lot. Partially because in the commentaries, those guys, I tell you, they're smart, but they really confuse you when you read these verses. And so I decided we got to explain this, and it's just a marvelous set of rules that God has set up. There's guarantees and there's conditions, and I love it. Let's pray a moment. Okay. Thank you, Lord, for your word, and thank you for a future full of hope that you've given us. But Lord, we want to also pay attention to your warnings and your promises, and help us to take it to heart. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So if I could bring you a scientist or a doctor or a combination of two, and I put them up in front of you, and he could guarantee you that in this life, if you pay attention to what he tells you, what kind of lifestyle, exercise, what kind of food, what you should eat, what you should drink, and what you should do, if he could guarantee you 100% that you are going to have an abundant life, a long life, and no Alzheimer's, no dementia, no Parkinson's, no cancer, no nothing, no sickness or nothing for all of your life, would you do what that man tells you to do? If he could recommend things, and he could not just recommend, he could tell you, this is what you need to do, and I guarantee you 100% that you will have a long life and you'll never have cancer, you'll never have sicknesses. Would you do what he tells you to do? Would you? I've asked this question over in Spain. They say, nope, because you're going to tell me that I'm going to have to get rid of my soda, my Coke, my this. You're going to tell me I have to get rid of that and that and that. And I just don't want to get rid of it. Well, what about eternity? That's just the short life we're talking about. What about if God tells you what you need to do so that you can have glory, honor, and you can have a well-done, not just a well-done, but you're going to have reward in heaven. But it's not, heaven is not, you know, clouds with, you know, angels. It's a lot more than that. Would you do what the Lord says so that you could have that reward? Even if it means giving up and suffering and going through difficult times? Look at this, because this passage tells us the rules, and they're unchanging rules, because God has said these are the things the way they are, and it doesn't matter what you or I say, they're going to be that way, and they're going to happen, and so might as well just accept what God says they are, okay? And some of these make us shake, and they should. We need a little shaking and fear before God, I think, these days, don't we? This is a faithful saying, verse 13, chapter 2, verse 13 of 2 Timothy. This is a faithful saying. Paul says this several times, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and in Titus. And he's telling us truths that this is the way God is. And God says, God sent his son to be the savior of all men. That's, guess what Christianity has said? No, Jesus didn't die for everybody. See what I'm saying? So when we get to these passages, you're going to see that a lot of Christians disagree with this passage. All right, well, let's go. Let's see the phrases, okay? It says, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. Question is,
Have we died with him? Have you died with him? Yes or no? Have you died with him? No? Yes? I get different reactions from different groups. Interesting. So, yes, if you have trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are dead with Christ. Okay? When we sinned, we were dead in sin. Now we are in Christ, we are dead to sin. And we are dead with Christ because we were crucified with Christ, Romans chapter 6, and different passages in Ephesians chapter 2. So Paul's just saying in one phrase a bunch of things he's taught in different letters, okay? So if you are dead with Christ, meaning that you have trusted in Christ as your Savior, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. You know that verse in Galatians? He's talking about that. It says that there is a guarantee that for those who are in Christ and are dead with Christ. It says, we shall also live with him. It's a future, and it's a life in the future. When's that going to be? It's going to be when we're raptured. It's going to be when all the saints in Christ are taken up and are given a new body. It's called the day of redemption. I like to call it the day of adoption, okay? It's a Greek type of adoption in which you walk into the Father's home, the Father's house. We were conceived without sin when we believed with the Holy Spirit, but we will be adopted one day. Romans 8:23 says, the day of adoption is coming, and you are going to have a new body. Are you looking forward to that? Yeah? All right, I got a real amen that one. Okay, look at the next one. It says, if we endure, it doesn't say endure with him. Did you notice that? It doesn't say endure with him. It says, if we endure, we shall also reign with him. Now, notice verse 10, right before these verses, says, therefore I endure, it says, all things, for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. So he was enduring. What does this word endure mean? Okay, so it's take upon ourselves. Jesus said, take upon you my yoke and put our shoulder under the yoke and stay there and walk with him. And recognize his lordship in your life. And in the measure that you recognize his lordship, in the measure that I recognize his lordship, and I submit and remain under his lordship and under his guidance, I will also, what does it say? We shall also reign with him. So Jesus told a lot of parables about a man leaving and giving in charge of his servants, and giving when he came back, after a long time, he said, he gave each one according to how they had done, right? And, well, that's what he's going to do with us. He's going to give to each one according to what we have done. And each one will reign and be rewarded with honor and glory or the lack of it. But we won't go to there yet. We'll get there right now. So he's not just talking about resurrection life with Christ. It's talking about reigning. It's talking about reward. Do you want reward? We talked about reward, giving up things now and changing my lifestyle to have the reward of having abundant life here on the earth. Giving up bad things, things that we shouldn't do, okay, smoking and things that will hurt our body. But here we're talking about something that's much more and goes way beyond. And it's talking about reward, not just rising again. That's guaranteed by God. That because of what Christ did on the cross, it's guaranteed that we will rise also, okay? But here's talking about putting our shoulder on and staying there. That's enduring, okay? And Paul says, I put my shoulder under the yoke for all the believers so that they will not just know Christ as Savior, but they also will submit to his lordship and have great glory when he comes, okay? Look at the next sentence, the last two lines. This one is where even friends that I've known from very young, they ask me, it says, what does this mean? What does this mean? Does this mean you lose your salvation? What does it mean? It says, if we deny him, he also will deny us. We just sang a song, and one of the two lines I noticed, it talks about, why should I deny him who has done so much for me? Okay, so deny means no, saying no to the Lord. It's sort of like the last one, but this is the negative one. One is putting your shoulder under, okay, and here it's saying, no, Lord, not now. You sit over there, and I'm going to do my thing for a little while. And then we'll take up our, I'll confess my sin, and I'll just keep on going. No problem. Nothing lost, right? Here it says that we do lose something, and we do lose a lot when we park the lordship of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We put him to one side and we say, yeah, he's my Lord, but not right now, because I really want to give that person what he deserves or what she deserves. If we deny him, he will also deny us. When I look at all the verses, I see the disciples were told this. I will recognize you if you recognize me. I will recognize you before the angels and my Father in heaven. But if you don't recognize me, he told his disciples as they went out announcing the gospel of the kingdom in those days, he won't recognize them. He'll deny them. He also talks about unbelievers, and he says he will deny that he knows them. So what is this deny stuff? Well, we're all going to stand before the Lord, and we're going to have to answer for ourselves, not for anybody else. But at that point, we're all going to be by ourselves. And we're going to have to give an account. So at that point, it's going to be believers are going to be, we're all going to go to be with him forever. And unbelievers, great white throne judgment, right? Okay. But everybody, in both places, we're all going to have to give an account for what we've done in our body, for our works, for our words, for everything we've done, for everything we've not done. And Paul and John says in 1 John 2:28, says, now, brethren, remain in him so that when he comes, when he appears, we will have confidence before him and not be ashamed before him in his coming. If you look up your Bible, I probably made a mess of that verse because of Spanish, because of English and Greek and all that kind of stuff. But the Lord doesn't want us to be ashamed. He wants us to have honor and glory and reward. He wants to reward us when he comes. So these two phrases that are conditional for us should make us tremble, because we're going to lose a whole lot more than having a sickness because we ate badly. You know what I mean? Or we acted badly. Okay? It's eternal loss. I'm sure glad he didn't stop there, verse 13. If we are faithless or unfaithful, as other translations say, he remains faithful. Okay, so does he remain faithful to me directly? Psalm 138, verse 2, it says, God has placed his name and his word. He has exalted them above all things. So God is not being faithful to me when he continues being faithful when I'm not faithful. It's because he's being faithful to somebody else or to himself. He's being faithful to his son, that blood that was shed on the cross. So he promised his son that he would give him an inheritance, and he will inherit all things, Hebrews chapter 1 and Ephesians chapter 1. And so all of those things his son is going to get because the Father has given him his word. He's made covenants, and he's going to keep those covenants, and none of them can be broken. So if we are faithless, if we deny him, if we don't endure, he remains faithful. Isn't that good? That's what it says, not me. Is it good? Yes, okay, great. So if we believe in Christ, we will rise with him. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. But in between, God puts out the carrot and says, if you submit to my lordship, I will give you a reward, and it's going to be a good one, okay? If you don't, you'll suffer a lot of loss. That doesn't mean that you're going to lose your salvation. Look, notice that Paul clarifies that. He says, he cannot deny himself. You see that? Well, use the same word, deny, that he used before. Okay, so he's clarifying that he's not talking about losing salvation for sure. He's just talking about losing reward. He's saying he cannot deny himself. What does that mean? Well, we know that Paul says that we are his body. We are his flesh and blood. It comes from Ephesians 5, Christ, the church, being flesh. Adam said that about Eve. He says, my flesh, she is of my flesh and of my blood. So we are part of his family. Not just his family, but we are his own flesh and blood because he paid for us. We are his, and he's not going to cut off his own arm. So he starts out with a guarantee, ends up with a guarantee, but in between, we should tremble because there's a lot to win, a lot to gain. My Spanish bleeds through. A lot to gain, and there's a lot to lose, okay? Question is, what are we going to do about it? Because it depends on our faithfulness, but it also, it's all, God's faithfulness is there for sure. Faithfulness to his word, he's given his word, but he calls us to faithfulness too. You say, I can't do much. He's not gonna ask you more than you can't give, but you can give. And we do appreciate your prayers throughout the years and all the missionaries you have, and you can say good words and you could do and follow Christ every day of your life. We have an expression in Spanish. It's a day is a day, which means it's today. Tomorrow's another day. You know, live it up. Enjoy it. It's just today. Don't worry about tomorrow. So I was on a diet like 4 years ago, and I'd go to my mother-in-law's house, and she would do this wonderful paella with seafood that they do in Spain. She does it real well, although she can't cook much anymore because of her dementia, but anyway. I would go and she would say, a day is a day. Don't worry. You'll keep on with your diet tomorrow. And then when we go to our service at night in the evening, we have our 5 o'clock service up in our town. After the service, we pull out the table, put on the pizzas, put this and that and the other, and everybody would say, oh, Kevin, don't worry. The day is a day. You know, I'm like, and that's what sin is all about. We poo-poo sin, and we think, a day is a day, you know? It doesn't matter, but here it says it does. It does, and it counts for eternity. It counts for eternity, and that's something. It's called the fear of the Lord, and paying attention and saying, do I want eternal reward? It's much more than just losing our health. Losing our health is a big thing. And we only have one body. So we should consider some of the things that we're told. But hey, eternal reward, laying up treasures in heaven, people, the value of people, the value of our time, all those things that we have that we can invest. Well, I leave that with you, okay? Let's show the video, all right? And it's a 7-minute video. So it starts right off. There's no lead-in, so if we can, should we turn some of the lights off to see it better? Or okay.
There you go. In 2006, we flew over for full-time service in Catalonia. We moved to the home that we have in El Moianès, a county there with 10 towns. Dedicate our time and is our launching pad. Here's where we meet now. After some years in another place, we'll show you later. And that's Thanksgiving with some friends. And we get to witness to some of our neighbors doing knitting. Let's take you over now, fly over to the town of Moya.
It's a 5-minute drive.
It's a pretty town.
Here, from our house to the town.
In the foothills of the Pyrenees. But it's not necessarily as quiet as you might think.
They're doing country dancing, lying country dancing here. Once a year they'll do that. very American. They all dress like dress up like cowboys.
Let's take you to some places where we have had our meeting places, and we did have a house that had 7 rooms. It was good. The Lord, I think, had us there for a time, but it was not legalized, and we decided that we had to move out of that house. And this is where we meet now, in our basement. It's one of the days where most people came, so we took some pictures. We've had some different activities. This is a fellowship meal, book table on Sundays. We're talking to people in town, excellent opportunities to witness. Also in the Retired Folks Cultural Center. And Olga has an excellent ministry with the children, many Muslim children from Muslim families.
This is stuff from the VBS from here.
And we hope to be able to open that activity up again pretty soon. Here they are memorizing John 3:16. And then Kevin teaches two English classes.
I had 21 students this year in 2 classes in the Retired Folks Cultural Center. I've been
Let
there
me
for
take you over now
them.
To see the new meeting place that we'd like to have. We'd like to rent, hopefully as soon as October.
So this is the from the outside, what you can see. And the kids came right over, wanting to come and see what we're doing over here. Vale? Okay.
Gabby, you speak English.
Yeah. And basically,
bye-bye.
There's no complication about this. It's just a small little storefront place where we can have our meetings and where the kids can play, have their Bible clubs. They can walk here from any point in town,
which is exactly what we
need. Then out here, we do have a place to park, which is really, really important for us.
I take my car with Olga. We travel down to different places to do Bible studies. The first place we go is on Thursday, and there is a brethren church. And we've been there for many, many years now. Teaching through scripture, creationism, different topics. Another place we go to is my mother-in-law's house, her apartment. We've been there for a year and some time, teaching and giving the gospel, and it's been really good. And then we have also had the opportunity on Sunday morning, since we have our meetings in Moya in the evenings, to go over to different churches and to help in the mornings. And in this place, Castellar, we lead the music one Sunday a month and have done different seminars and do some speaking too.
So let's go see another church that we've been teaching on Sunday morning. San Quirce, a town where a missionary, Dan Portugal, is opening a work, and he's gone on furlough, so we've been doing teaching once a month there, and it's been a blessing to get to know them. And then off over by the port of Barcelona, a church that my dad started, and we've been teaching them, and it's been a good thing to be with them, and they've really expressed their appreciation.
Also, we'd like to talk to you about other things that we do once a year, twice a year, like Bible camps, like teaching missionary stories or working in the kitchen or doing devotionals or whatever we're asked to do. We've been able to take some of the kids from our kids club to these camps. And then different retreats. Kevin has been asked to do the speaking and Olga's helped in the kitchen. And even as far away as in the center of Spain and in Huesca, 3 hours away. We've also organized with another couple in our mission, ladies' retreats and couples' retreats. And those have been a great blessing to many people. They've told us how good it has been. Another thing I've been able to do is to teach intensive courses on Saturdays, and we do 5 sessions, like all the way through the Bible, from before creation to the new creation, maybe something on creationism, different subjects.
Muchas gracias.
Gracias.
Muchas gracias.
Gracias.
Muchas gracias.
Hola, muchas gracias por todo.
Alrighty. Well, did you get dizzy flying around? I thought it was sort of fun to do that because you can get to see visually different places we've gone. Actually, there's one more church. There were about 20, 25 South American, a group of 20, 25 South Americans. And we were there for about a year, going once every month. And they finally merged into the church where Olga grew up in. And so we're very happy because besides they live basically in that neighborhood. So we're happy that they were able to merge with a church that was solid. So just what we want to do is encourage them. There's one church we were talking about. They had gone off doctrinally throughout the years since my parents had been there. And maybe we've been able to awaken them a little bit to some better Bible interpretation. So hopefully they're good. They're friends from years back. So we have a few minutes. Do you have questions? Yeah, okay. Yeah. Sure. Okay, well, they're both working jobs. We're very happy. They're good workers. We're very happy about that. And Ruben's still living at home, and he still comes to our services on Sunday evening. That's just a big thing for us that he comes voluntarily to the meetings. But both of them are very much pulled by their friends, unsaved friends. And they both say they're believers and they both mention it to their friends, but they want to live in both sides. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? So we just pray, if you would pray for them so that they will, that it, the won't, Lord won't have to hit them too hard over the head to come and serve the Lord, you know, and that they won't hurt their health in the process either, because those young people like to drink or whatever, and pray for them that they'll stay away from all that, but the temptations are big. That's where they are right now. Yeah. Well, we are very grateful that when we went to look for this new building that hadn't been ever rented since it was built, 17 years that, you know, we were there and we were showing you, it's never been rented. I think it's just been sitting there for us. But anyway, when you go to the authorities, you have to go to the town hall and you have to state that you want to rent the place. Before you rent it, tell them what you want to do there. They have to look and see if it's allowed. We went through all this thing and they finally came up with a report. And so this is what's happened. A lot of churches closed down during COVID, but the moment you close down, it's very hard to open a new place called that is allowed, where they allowed to do public activities like for worship. So that has been a struggle for us, and we've been waiting and waiting and waiting for all these things, this paperwork to go on. First, we had to find a place. And this place, it's small, but I think it's good for what our needs are right now. So slowing us down, hardness of hearts. Yeah, that's the ones that respond are the people that the immigrants from South America, Spain would not have an evangelical church of any type if there were no South American immigrants, whether legal or illegal, because we have 30% illegal immigration in our state right now. And it's just because the government has opened that way of doing things. They can just come, they say, I have an address, I'm going to visit such and such, they just stay, and then they have to survive for 3 years, take a language course, take a culture course, and then after 3 years of living illegally, then they'll give them their residency. It's pretty crazy, but that's the way it is. So, questions? Any more questions? Yeah? Well, it's a lot easier for me and Olga to blend in, and also because she's grew up there. For me, I make it a point to try to get them to take ownership of what's happening. It's true, our level of income is higher than theirs, most of them. And that's hard for some of them that are earning only like $900 a month, equivalent to euros. You know, for us, for you, you see our house and you'd say, oh, that's a normal house. And they'll say, wow, this is a mansion. You know what I mean? But others see it as normal in Spain. So we just try to be normal people. Our services are very family. We share with each other in the meetings and try to keep it that way. But my looks are one of the barriers of, I'll open my mouth and speak Catalan to them and say, you speak Catalan and you speak it very well. And they say, yeah, because I grew up here and you know what I mean? But I look Dutch or German or whatever mixture I am, you know, whereas Olga doesn't have that problem. So I'm not fully integrated there because I look American or whatever. And I come over here and I feel out of place over here. So I'm a citizen of heaven. I don't know. Mm-hmm. For now, they leave us alone, for now. But let's see. Spain is very tolerant, but it's becoming very intolerant with the laws that it's setting in place. So all the laws with LGBTQ and trans and the feminism, the radical feminism that is... They'll put up everywhere in the streets and the town halls will do that. So more and more, all of us believers that try to hold a stand in scripture are very, very out of place, very out of place. So they're radical and they're very strong in Catalonia, which is 8 million people, probably some of the more populated areas. For now, there might be more religious freedom there than here to a certain degree. But it's coming because we were passing out tracts and Bibles a couple months ago. And the kids came from the public school down the street and they came up to do some kind of activity. So we just passed out tracts and things. And later in our prayer time in one of the homes where we meet, I received a phone call using the phone that was on one of the tracts. And that lady just chewed me out. How dare I give out anything that talks about the Bible or God or anything to the children. Maybe one of them was her child, I don't know, probably. So you can see that the animosity is building little by little, but right now it's very tolerant, very open, even maybe more than here. Okay, so they leave us alone, but yeah. Yeah, we have a sign-up sheet if you'd like to sign up for our prayer updates that we send, so... Remember to do that, and we have a prayer card, which is not a card this time. It's a magnet, okay, to put on your. It's magnetized. So, all righty. Any other question? Yeah. The weather? Well, the hot, humid stuff that you have here, we have that down by Barcelona, by the city where Olga's mom lives, It's hot and humid. Sometimes I think it's more than it's, you have a lot more humidity here because you have so much water. And we don't have as many rivers and lakes around like you do. We go over these rivers, St. Joe River, we go over the Wisconsin River, and we're like, wow, you know. we have five main arteries in the country of rivers, and they're pretty dirty, pretty nasty. So the weather is not as cold anymore. 60, 70 years ago, there was probably about 3 feet of snow for a lot of months of the year, similar to Michigan. The grandmas tell me this, and they remember that. But we've had all the waves of heat from Africa have moved up progressively. They could move back down. It's not human, man-made climate change. It's that the Iberian Peninsula is suffering from these ebb and flows. So it's a lot drier. We have a lot of crisis sometimes of not having rain. We've had like 3 years of it not raining in our area. So they're starting to say, you know, they do depend on the dams, and the dams are drying up. And so it's getting to be a little bit tight over there as to water. Here you got water everywhere, underground water everywhere. Farming, they farm a lot of wheat. They farm a lot of wheat because the ground is really hard clay. And so it'll handle a lot more, it'll keep the humidity more. So all our town is surrounded by lots of wheat. But there would be no farmers if the European Union didn't give them the subsidy, which might dry up someday. And then I go to a breakfast, now it's once a month, it used to be every Sunday. With the Unsaved Men town, they invited me out to a farmhouse, and I've gone with them. Now I can't go because I go to churches and do speaking at churches, but I go with them, make a point to go with them once a month, and I get to talk to them, and they talk about the things, and you know, to get to know people. That's why we were in the choir for many years, and then Olga does conversation class. I teach English to be in with the people, and to witness to them. Sometimes we are able to. Especially on Sunday mornings once a month when we do the book table. We used to do it more often, now we do it once a month, try to, but because it's just us, nobody else is coming with us to do that book table, so we just try to keep it doing. But sometimes we have a fellowship meal or something with our group, and so I'll go pick up my mother-in-law and bring her up for the fellowship meal, and then I can't go do the book table. But now we have a good relationship with a lot of people in town. And so they just come up and talk to us. It's not, hi, I'd like to give you a gospel tract and I don't know who you are. No, we know who they are and they know who we are. And so we have a pretty good relationship there with them. Well, I think it's my time. I had a question right there if you want to take it. Sure.
Get another question? All right. Oh, yeah, there's another one. You go ahead.
Yeah, they were saying muchas gracias to all of you. And actually, if you don't mind, at the end of the service, if I could do a 3-second video
of you
saying hola. Because I want them to meet you. So it's not something somebody way far away that they don't know about or see. I appreciate it.
Okay. As long as I'm not the only one saying
it.
No,
I'll do it now then.
Do you want to go ahead now?
If you don't mind, I guess.
I'll let you lead.
All right. Thank you. Okay. You want to get in it too?
Sure.
Sure. All right. Well, I'll count to three, and on three you say, hola, and you can wave your hands, okay? So I'll count to three. I'll start recording beforehand, okay? One, two, three.
Hola.
Thank you.
All right, so I'll start all the services going forward with that. How's that? I probably messed that up. Appreciate you taking time, Kevin and Olga, to come. And they did mention briefly there's a table out there for that you had some information on, right? sign-up sheets, magnets, whatever the case may be. We're going to pray, or I am, and then we'll be dismissed for a few minutes, and then we'll have the business meeting in a few minutes. But if you want to go out to the table, feel free to do so. But again, thank you for taking time, and but let's take some minute to pray for them, okay? Join me. Lord, we do thank you for this day, and we rejoice in it. And Lord, I thank you for the time that Kevin and Olga were able to be with us. Lord, we pray for the needs that they have, Lord, those that they have communicated and those probably that they haven't, those unspoken needs that they have. Lord, I pray that they would continue to be able to go and to be fruitful, and all of it would be done to your glory and your honor. Lord, I pray that you would provide all their needs for them, those things that they need to carry forth in the ministry that they have. I pray that when the time comes for them to return, that you would give them safe travels home as well. And Lord, we pray for those that have not heard or come to the saving knowledge of the truth of Christ through the gospel, that Lord, as they encounter people, that they would indeed trust in the one true God, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And Lord, again, we thank you for them so much. Lord, we now pray the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.